turn with us to the book of Ruth, chapter number 1. It is a joy to be in the Lord's house this morning. We appreciate the visitors coming to church with us today. Good to see our home people. And we certainly do need the Lord in this day and this hour. The book of Ruth, you'll find it right after the book of Judges and Joshua. If you're willing and able, let's stand and let's reverence, honor the reading of the Word of God found over in the book of Ruth. If you have a Scofield Bible, you can find it around page 315. If not, go to your concordance and hunt up Ruth. Amen. And I'll assure you it's still in our Bible. The book of Ruth, chapter number 1, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. They didn't have a king, so judges were ruling throughout the land of Israel and Judah. You'll notice that the Bible said to the left of that page, if your Bible opens like that, in Judges 21:25, in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So we see that in Ruth 1, verse 1, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. The name of his two sons was Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. They came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. She was left and her two sons. They took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orph. The name of the other was Ruth. They dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. She arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. They went on the way to return to the land of Judah. Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go and return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, and you've dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of your husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. They said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I shall have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. They lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. When there lodgest, I will lodge, and thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Thank you for standing today of reverence and in honoring the reading of the Word of God. Father, we do love you today. Lord, we thank you for the goodness and the grace of God. We want to thank you for the opportunity today to stand and open up thy book and proclaim the precious Word of God. I want to thank you for the songs that have been sung. I want to thank you for traveling safely this week and how you've helped us. I pray now you'd touch every heart in this place today by your Word. I pray if it be one here lost, undone in their sins, on the way to a devil's hell, God, you would reach in by mercy and grace this morning. And you would give them eternal life for their soul and their spirit. Help us now, and we'll be grateful to you. I'm a needy preacher this morning. I pray you'd help us in Jesus' name. The name above all names, we pray this morning. Amen. And amen. In this text, many have listed it as the love story of the Bible. There are only four chapters in the book of Ruth. The content is about a family and people making choices. We've read where in that day that the judges ruled in the land of Judah and Israel. The Bible said that they had turned their back on the God of our Bible and the Lord had sent a famine in the land. Within this text, there are two choices that I'd like to really bring through this morning and be brief in preaching. But I want to preach on the choices at the crossroads of life. In this text, there were two main choices that were applied. I want to say, first of all, there was a wrong choice. You know something, choices always have consequences. And here in this text, let's look at the consequence of a wrong choice. Now, we talk about choices. Does God give us a choice? Yes, God gives all people a choice. In the book of Deuteronomy, he said this in chapter 11 and 26, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which you have not known. So God has given everyone a choice. We are people that we have a will and we have the responsibilities in order to make the right choice. But I want you to look in this family before I get into where I really need to preach this morning. Look at the consequences of a wrong choice. I've made some wrong choices in my life, and I had to deal with those consequences. Let's look what was sort of hidden in the page of our Bible as I briefly go through today. But first of all, in verse number 1, notice at the fundamentals of this text. The Bible said that there was a place called Bethlehem, Judah. There was a man there named Elimelech and his wife Naomi. And he had two sons. And so we all know in church that the fundamentals of our faith is the place of Bethlehem, that simply means the house of bread. I'm glad this morning we can come to an old-fashioned Bible preaching church where The King James Bible is still preached, and the old song are still sung. The altars are still open for people to come and pray and get help from the Lord. And by the way, if you need help in your life, you're in the right place this morning. I'm not interested in religion. I'm not interested in entertainment. I'm simply interested in what God would have us to do. Now here you'll notice the fundamentals of this choice. He was at a place in Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread. Aren't you glad that you've got a good church you can go to in this day and this hour? And so here we see the fundamentals that was there. But then in verse 2, not only the fundamentals, you'll notice there was a family there. Look in verse 2. The name of the man was Elimelech. And by the way, you know what this name simply means? It means that he knows God. Elimelech had been raised around the things of God in the land of Judah with the children of Israel. He was accustomed to the practices of the people of God. No doubt he knew about the priests and the sacrifices and the glory of God falling in the tabernacle. We are so blessed to know something about God this morning, to have a place in Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread. So we see this fundamental. He was at the house of bread. Then we see this family, a man and his wife, and he had two children. You'll notice now in verse 3, something else happened. He said there was a famine in the land. A famine in the land. Things had got very dry. They'd got very destitute. They'd got very discouraging. Even though he was at the house of Bethlehem, even though he was amongst God's people, God had sent a famine because they'd turned their back on God. And I want to say America's not going to get by with turning her back on God. America has shook her fist in the face of God and said, "We don't need you anymore." But honey, I come to tell you, we need the God of this Bible this morning back in our country. Matter of fact, today, 9/11, many things will be mentioned. Do you remember when the planes flew into those towers, where you were, what you were doing? Our country was forever changed. Now, I want to say today that we're about to see a wrong choice, and I want you to see it in your Bible. The consequence of a wrong choice. There was the fundamentals. There was a family. There was a famine. But now look in verse 1. There's a farewell. He decided to leave Bethlehem. He decided to leave the house of bread. And you'll notice where he went, this farewell. Verse 1. He went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife, and watch this, and his two sons. Daddies, first of all, you better be careful about the decisions that we make because it does affect others. He's leaving the house of bread and he's going down to Moab. Well, what is Moab? Moab is a type of a sin-cursed world where God had cursed them. You know what they would do with their children? They worshiped idols. They would take their children and throw them in furnaces as a sacrifice. That's what that was going on down in Moab. And here's a man that knew something about God because that's what his name meant. He decided with this decision, with this choice, that he was going to leave the house of bread and go down to Moab. I want to say something today. I've noticed this. Everybody that ever leaves God's church, they never go to a stronger church. They always go to a weaker place. Many go out to the world. Many go back home. And here Elimelech, he knew enough about God that he was not to go down to Moab. Can I tell you, child of God, Moab is no place for us to take our family and our children. Even though things get a little dry, even though things get a little drab, I'd rather be around the house of God this morning than anything I know. You say, man of God, is there problems here? Sure, it's problems here. Look at you. You sitting here and I'm a standing here. We're all problems. But I come to tell you, there's a God of this Bible that can handle all of our problems this morning. There's nothing too hard for Him. And honey, if you want to have a bad day, you leave out of the house of God and set it in your heart to go down toward Moab, and there'll be a price that you'll have to pay that you don't want to pay. Now, he knew about God. He knew about the place of God. We see his choice. Things got a little lean, so he decided to take his family down to Moab, and he went to sojourn in the country. I've often wondered here about Naomi, his wife. Wondered maybe why his wife didn't remind him, honey, why are we leaving God's people? Why are we leaving where our bread has always been buttered? Going through hard times right now, but honey, there's no time to pack up and leave God and go down to Moab to sojourn. I wondered about Lot, Abraham's nephew. Lot looked out and he saw the plains of Sodom. They were well watered, and the Bible said Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom, and he lost a big part of his family. You know, when you and I make choices, it affects other people. And here we see the consequences of a wrong choice. Not only was there a famine involved and a farewell involved, but there were fatalities involved. Look in verse number 3. It's an amazing story. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. I want you to watch this widow woman. She was left with her two sons, so her husband has took her to Moab. He's left the house of God. He's left the people of God, everything that he was accustomed to. He went out to Moab, took his family, and now he's died and he's left his wife alone. The Bible picks up and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, verse 3, died as she was left and her two sons. And watch this, her sons, they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah. And the name of the other that we're so familiar with was Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And watch this, Mahlon and Chilion died, both of them, her boys. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Could you imagine the devastation that this lady was going through? Her husband has led her down into Moab. He has died. Now her two children have died. And she's standing there with her two daughter-in-laws all alone. We see this thing of choice that Elimelech, he made a wrong choice. You know, a lot of people, you may choose your decision, but you don't get to choose your consequences. We all can make a choice about our decision, but we don't get to choose our consequences of our decision. Decisions are so important. We must pray about our decisions. We just don't make decisions off of the cuff, off of the hem of the moment. We must think about what we're doing, where we're going, where our families are going with us. How does it affect my people? How does it affect my testimony? How does it affect my life and my family? So here in this text, the choices at the crossroads, there's in this text one of the greatest illustrations I've ever seen at the crossroads of life. Now, I've took you down to the setting, and I don't want to leave us this way. I always want to leave a sermon on a positive note. You know, preachers, they've gotten so frightened. We live in a culture when nothing is wrong anymore. But let me tell you something. I wouldn't be much of a preacher if I didn't tell you what the Bible says. But I never want to leave a sermon on a negative note. You'll all have to agree with your preacher this morning. This is a very sad situation. I've seen a lot of sad situations in life, and you? We've all experienced some very sad situations. We see this lady, Naomi. She's left now with Orpha and Ruth, her two daughter-in-laws. And now I want to preach on this thought, the consequences of a wrong choice. But now let's look at the consolation of a right choice. Consolation of a right choice. I've made enough wrong choices in my life. The older I've got, I want to make the right choices. And you'll notice within this right choice, the story starts now, and it starts in verse number 6. Watch what the mother-in-law Naomi does. She arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. Watch this. For she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited His people in giving them bread. What's just happened? She has heard that back home at Bethlehem, around God's people in God's house, that famine had subsided and now they had bread. You know, the devil's real good at telling you a lie. He's real good convincing you of something that is not true. I read this at Brother David's funeral yesterday, talking about there's bread back in Bethlehem. The psalmist David said this, "I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." If Elimelech would just understood, even though things had got lean and things had got hard and things had gotten changed, if he had just stayed with his God, things would have been a lot better for his family. For you see, she just got word that the place they left, now there's bread there. The story continues. She went forth out of that place. And I want to say something, Brother Mike. I seen this study and I'd never noticed. Look in verse 4. Right before they get ready to leave, they dwelled in Moab about 10 years. You know, it don't take you very long to get out of the will of God, but it'll take you a lot longer to get back in the will of God. How many people thought they would just make a gesture or a step, and it took them years to a bad place? Now in this text, this right choice, you'll notice that she made this phrase, "There's bread back in Bethlehem." Verse 7, she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. I want to say, first of all, the consolation of this right choice. Notice there was a determination. A determination. Look, Bible said in verse 7, she went forth out of the place where she was. She said, there's something better than this. Can I tell you, people, that there's something a lot better than Moab. There's something a lot better than dying. There's something a lot better than what's going on in this whole world. There's a better day coming for the child of God. There was a determination. She said, you know something? I need to make a change. You may be here today, one of the greatest days of your life, when you're determined in your heart, I need to get out of this lifestyle and this situation that I find myself in. A determination. Then verse 8, I notice how the mother-in-law does something that may surprise you. Not only is there determination, now there's a discussion. And look what she tells these girls. It's amazing what she tells them. Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each of you to your mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, and you've dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that He may find rest of each of you in the house of your husband. She said, don't y'all go with me. Go back to your people. Go back to your husbands that have passed. Go back to their house. She's letting them know how life really is. It said in verse number 9, the Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of your husband. And she kissed them. And they lifted up their voice and they wept. Can you imagine standing in this place? Those three ladies are weeping. They seem to have lost everything they've ever had and have ever known. And now they turn around and they embrace. And she kisses them and they lifted up their voice and wept. In verse number 10, they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I'm too old to have a husband. If I should say I have a husband tonight and should bear a son, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And watch verse 14. Not only now is there determination and discussion, but this is very important you get this. Now there is a decision. They lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and to her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Orpah has simply kissed Naomi and said bye. Ruth has kissed her and said, I'm staying. I'm staying with you. I know you'll never have another son that I can marry. I'm not interested in what you have. I'm interested in who you serve. For she says these words, a decision. Verse 16, there's her desire. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Her decision, her desire. She said, as bad as this is, mother-in-law, I know you don't have anything to help me, but I'm interested in this God that you serve. Orpah kissed Naomi, the mother-in-law, and went back to Moab to her gods that she was raised with. But Ruth looked around and said, I realize what Moab's brought me. I've heard you talking about your God, and I'm going back home with you to the house of bread. I got to thinking about this child of God. Even though you down in Moab, you know how good God is. Even though when a child of God, boy, some of these preachers ain't going to like this online, but I come to tell you this morning that even though a backslid Christian out in this world God could use them to reach a little Moabite woman. And all of a sudden, there was these girls that married this woman's sons. And she's brought a light to them down in Moab. See, God is so big, He is hard to hide. When me and you are not doing right and we out in this old place and people are lost looking at us, they ought to be able to recognize there's still something different about us, even in a place that we ought to not be. You know something? When I got saved, I'll give you this illustration. Just come up, didn't think about it. But I had done a lot of things that I was really ashamed of. I never did drink much. I didn't like drinking. But there was a boy that gave me a joint of pot one day, and it consumed me for several years of my life. I got saved one morning over at Sandy Flat Baptist Church, and I'm just being real honest with you. For about 6 or 7 weeks, I'd done real good. I knew something was different. Got around that wrong crowd, Brother Lee, and they got to rolling that up again. And right. As I'd put it in my hand and I'd take and I'd light it up, something was different. I'd start crying.
Yeah.
And them folks was looking at me like, man, what's wrong with this guy? I'd say, I'm not supposed to be doing this.
Right.
Come on, and then they backed up and they looked. I said, I don't enjoy this no more. Even though I was down toward Moab, there was a God that shined a light on lost people and let them know that Jesus does change and Jesus does make a difference in this day and this hour. So, Ruth made the right decision. Orpha made the wrong decision. She went back to her God. Now this consolation of the right choice, look what she says, her desire, verse 16, I will go. Is there anybody interested in going with God? I will go. See, that's a personal situation. I believe that salvation is of the Lord. I believe a man and woman has responsibility before God, and it must be a personal choice, a personal decision. She said, I will go. Have you ever made that personal decision for Christ? I will go. We see her decision. Now, look at her devotion, verse 16. She said, where thou lodgest, I'll lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. There's nothing like God's people. Miss Sherry, if you come in, hon, I appreciate it. You know, God's people's all got a lot of problems. A lot of people, I think, when they look at a church this size, they think, boy, that's so many goody-two-shoe people, and that place is full of religion. Let me tell you, it is this preacher's heart to keep this place so real that people can realize that we all have faults and failures, but there's a Jesus that can forgive us of anything. Could you imagine how good God had been to Ruth and Orpha? Orpha made a wrong decision. She said, you know something? She's got nothing left for me. I can't get anything out of her. Say, you're never going to get saved if you think you're going to get something physically or something materially out of the process. But Ruth said, I know you've got nothing, but you've got something I'm interested in. It's the God that you serve. You see, I'd rather know God than have all the gold in America. She said, I want your people to be my people. Aren't we blessed to be in the family of God? I was thinking the other day about our church since COVID had hit. I was preaching this week and I seen altars just fill up with people. Why have we quit praying around here? So my determination is your God's going to be my God. I'm so thankful that Naomi's God is my God this morning. She said, I really don't have nothing to give you. She said, I'm not interested in what you can give me. I'm going with you. Because this God you've been telling me about and serving me, I want Him to be my God and I want your people to be my people. When you're in the family of God, honey, there's no big ones, there ain't no little ones. We all stand even at Calvary. We were all born sinners by Adam's nature. We all have to have a Savior. There's none good, no, not one. Do you remember the day when you said, I go? I want your God to be my God. You know where they went? Went right back to Bethlehem. I like to preach there next week or two. When she walked in, Naomi with Ruth, they said, who is that? Been gone 10 years. Who is that? Can I tell you, the world will change your looks. Boy, Hollywood, young people, they'll paint you a pretty picture. Man, you think. Boy, look what a life they've got. Do you ever look at them people when they my age? They make me look young. Amen. The world has wrenched them and wrecked them. Threw them away. Got what they wanted and simply disposed of them. But not the family of God. Matter of fact, now Ruth goes into the ancestry of Christ. Isn't that amazing? Little Moabitish girl made a choice. I'll go. You ever made that choice, that eternal choice? Out of your heart that you'd go. I think a lot of people, they struggle a lot of times about being saved. Well, I can't live it. You're right. You can't. But He can live it inside of you. Are you at a crossroad in your life? Many people are. I've been at many. These two daughters was at a crossroads. One made a wrong choice. She turned and she went back to the land of Moab. But not Ruth. She said, you going? After all we've seen her do in her life and the God, you're going back. She said, I'm not going back. I'm going with you. I want your God to be my God. I will say this morning, maybe you don't have the God that I know. Well, you can come follow Him by faith this morning. I don't care what you've done or what you've been through. Jesus does love you. God sent His Son on the cross to die for every one of us in this building that we could go to. I'm glad I'm going. Are you going? I'm glad I'm going to Bethlehem. A house of bread. Where everything is wonderful. Some of you at a crossroads, you ought to pray about your decisions. Some of you this morning, no doubt, you've never trusted Christ. It'd be a great morning just to simply come to Him. As Miss Amy sang, the Rock of Ages. You say, Brother Ken, how do you get saved? I want to know how you get saved. Biblically, I want to know how you get saved. Well, first of all, you've got to realize you're a sinner. There's none good, no, not one. You're not going to live good enough to go to heaven. But Jesus died for you. You must realize you're lost. That Sunday morning at Sandy Flat Baptist Church, right through this pine thicket, just a few miles, I stayed on that third pew. The preacher gave an invitation. And when my foot did this, when I simply stepped out into that aisle, my heart had changed. You know what I simply said? Lord, save me. And He did. And He will for you. Stand around the building this morning. Stand around the building. You say, Brother Ken, I don't want to pray by myself. Well, there'll be some people that pray with you.